Hello and welcome to Digital Insights, featuring topics from the BoagWorld.com blog. My name is Paul Boag, and on this podcast I offer advice about user experience and digital transformation. And today I want to talk to you about testing design comps. I've written a lot over the years about how to approach usability testing, and I've even shared some thoughts on iterating your way to a user interface. But none of the techniques that I've shared focus much on testing design aesthetics or a design comp. Is testing design something we should even be considering, or does it actually undermine the role of the designer? You see, whenever I talk about testing design with other designers, I often get an adverse reaction. The perception is the client is paying the designer for their expertise, so it should be the designer that develops the look and feel without interference. They also express a fear that the design will be compromised in some way if the masses get involved. In some ways, their reaction is valid. A designer should be making the final design decisions, and too many cooks can definitely spoil the broth when it comes to design. However, in the real world, stakeholders do interfere in the design process, and testing design can be an effective way of minimizing the influence of one single poorly informed person. I also believe that testing design offers four distinct benefits. 1. Testing design looks beyond personal preference. We all know what we don't like when it comes to design. Many of us even have strong opinions about what quality design should be. But none of that matters when it comes to designing your website. What matters is whether the user responds positively to it. Personal preference shouldn't factor into designing a site, even if that preference is that of the designer. I've created websites that personally I hate, but I know my target audience loves it. And that's all that matters. 2. Testing design avoids confrontation over design. I've watched too many projects grind to a halt because the client and designer can't agree on the design. The designer feels the client should bow to his or her expertise and training, while the client believes that he's the one paying for the site, so he should get what he wants. This kind of stalemate can be incredibly damaging, but testing design is an effective way of diffusing these kinds of differences. 3, testing design informs the design process. Look, don't get me wrong. I believe that a designer should be in control of the design. However, testing design is about informing the design process, not replacing the designer. In my opinion, the more informed the designer is, the better. By meeting real users and having the opportunity to ask them questions about the look and feel of a site, a designer can only be better informed when developing his concepts. 4, testing design minimizes design by committee. Often a design is shown to many different people before it's signed off. Either it passes through some official committee or your point of contact hands it around the office. That happens because nobody wants the responsibility of approving a design. Testing design offers an alternative approach. By providing hard data on how a user will respond to a design, it avoids concerns over whether that approach is right. That deals with both client apprehension over sign-off and different stakeholders debating the right look. How then do you test aesthetics? How do you test the best colour, typography, styling, etc.? How do you ensure that the design is communicating the right feel and personality to your users? It's not enough to show users a design and ask them what they think of it. This approach creates two problems. First, whether they like the design is not really the only criteria by which you should judge it. For example, a user might not personally like the design of, say, a law firm because they find it too formal or for their personal preferences, but it might still leave them with the right feel about the company, that it's professional and trustworthy. Second, when you ask users what they think, they're forced to fall back on comments like, "I don't like the green." Comments like that aren't particularly helpful because you don't know what it is about the green that's the problem. The most important thing to do when you design the aesthetics of a site is make sure it's a good reflection of the company it represents. To do this, we need a strong idea of what the characteristics of your brand are. There are a variety of ways to go about this process, but my personal favourite is to imagine the brand as a person. Maybe you think of it as a famous person, somebody who articulates your brand in some way. Alternatively, you might want to consider creating a fictional individual that represents the brand. Whoever this person is, whether they are a real famous person or someone fictional, they will have specific personality traits that you can express as keywords. Perhaps the person is laid back, maybe they're formal. Whatever the case, this list of words becomes the core of your brand. The question then becomes, does any design communicate these words? The only way to know that for sure is to test it with real users, because both the designer and the stakeholders are too close to the project to be objective. But how do you check a design against a set of words? What follows is a list of different techniques that I personally used. It's not a comprehensive list, and some I use more than others. However, it should give you some options. Each test has its strengths and weaknesses, so really a combination is often the best way to go. The first type of design testing you can do is A-B testing. A-B testing is ideal if you're not really sure which of multiple approaches to take. Sometimes you can go in different directions with a design and you're unsure which one is best suited. In this case, a simple A-B test may be the answer. Usually the A-B test involves presenting two designs to a user and asking which they prefer. That's entirely adequate, but you might want to go a step further. Instead of asking them which they prefer, show them your list of brand words and ask them which they feel best represents the words. That moves the conversation away from a simple like or dislike to something directly related to your brand. The second design test I use is something called a semantic differential survey. It's a fancy name for a very simple idea. In this test, you present the user with either a single or multiple designs, and you get them to rate them against opposing words. For example, is your design more formal or casual, more busy or minimalistic? These choices can either be black and white choices or some kind of sliding scale. One tip I will say is if you go down the sliding scale route, make sure that you use an odd number of options. In other words, you get people to rate it from 1 to 5 rather than 1 to 10. If people can pick an even number, then they tend to choose the middle option. An odd number forces people to lean one way or another in their choice. There's also a variation of this survey that I find quite useful. In this test, I take the target keywords that represent the brand, add to that their opposites, and then sprinkle in a few other words somebody might possibly use to describe the design. I then post the survey showing the design and ask people to pick which words resonate the most with that design. This is useful for exploring concerns that the design might be engendering the wrong kind of reaction. The next kind of test I use is testing against the competition. So what this is about is working out how well the design responds when you put it alongside your competitors. In this test, you display your design alongside the competition in a single place. You then ask users to pick which site best represents each of the keywords in your list. So, for example, which of the following sites looks most approachable? That's an excellent way of seeing whether you're outperforming the competition, but it also flags up a common problem, which is that designs within the same sector all end up looking the same. If users struggle to select one site over another, then it's obvious that you haven't done enough to differentiate yourself. The final test that I use focuses on that initial impression. It's called a snap test. We know that users make judgments about a site in the blink of an eye, and so we need to accommodate this. Research shows that if people have a negative impression of a site, then they're more likely to look critically at it, even in regards to things like content and usability. It's therefore crucial that the site makes an excellent initial impression. A snap test is, well, as it sounds, you show the design to a user for 1 or 2 seconds to get their initial reaction. Because of the short time scale, you may find that users struggle to judge the design against any of your list of keywords. However, you can at least discover whether they have a positive or negative reaction to what they've seen. Many web designers like to refer to themselves as user-centric designers. And that's great. It's great because it's a term that encourages you to do usability testing, and rightly so. However, usability testing is far from the only form of testing with users. And I would argue it's just as important to get the aesthetics and brand values of a website right as it is the usability. The sad truth is that there are many sites that are incredibly usable and yet utterly forgettable. And that's why it's essential we test both aesthetics and usability.